Good morning, everybody. Welcome to this public health nursing session called Social Epidemiology and Social Determinants of Health. My name is Serdar Atav. I'm an associate professor at the Decker School of Nursing, and I'm very pleased to moderate this session. We're going to have 15-16 minute talks. Afterwards, at the very end, after all the talks are over, we should have about half an hour or so for questions and answers. So if you could hold your questions till the end, I'd appreciate it. And our first presenter is Dr. Frances Harden Fanning. Dr. Harden Fanning is an assistant professor at the University of Kentucky College of Nursing. As a native of Central Appalachia, her research focuses on improving nutrition in rural Appalachia, where disproportionate poverty and geographic isolation contribute to high rates of cardiovascular disease. Dr. Harden Fanning chairs the APHA Public Health Nursing Section Policy Committee and is the Kentucky State Liaison for the Southern Nursing Research Society and received a 2013 APHA Junior Investigator Award. Dr. Harden Fanning.
Okay, so what I want to talk to you about today is a study that we did related to SNAP, which is Supplemental Nutritional Assistance Program participation and food cost in rural Appalachia. I would like to acknowledge two of my team, Cheryl Witt with Data Collection and the Mary Kay Rayens. Dr. Rayens is our statistician. I have nothing to disclose. The purpose of our study was we wanted to assess whether food costs would actually vary by the nutritional quality, the time of the year, or the geographic location. And we did this in four different Kentucky counties that had varying rates of poverty, SNAP participation, and then access to healthy foods. And I'll explain how we drew those counties momentarily. Most of the decisions that go into purchasing what types of foods your family or yourself are going to eat, a lot of times depends on how you're able to afford those. And in some of our poorer counties in Kentucky, we have poverty rates up to almost 50%. So a lot of times the cost of the food has a much, much higher influence on whether they buy it or not versus the nutritional quality. And several of our counties have actually been designated as rural food deserts, which is essentially a very poor area where at least a third of the individuals who reside in that rural county live more than 10 miles from a larger grocery store. These rural counties also have very high rates of unemployment, and that's actually worsening in our state because of the loss of the coal industry. So we have a lot of families who are actually dependent on those SNAP funds to meet their nutritional needs. A lot of these families also experience food insecurity where they essentially run out of money at the end of the month and they are unable to provide food for their families. And food insecurity has actually been associated with higher rates of obesity, chronic diseases, depression, and mismanagement of some of their chronic illnesses. So it's definitely a problem that is not just related to nutrition. It really goes across the whole, the background nursing, healthcare essentially. In our communities, what happens is people who receive these SNAP funds tend to purchase items that have a longer shelf life. They live out in the rural area, so they can't make frequent trips to the grocery store. And what we found is that some of these processed items have an addiction potential, as well as they are less nutritious than some of our fresh fruits, vegetables, etc. So helping them to identify foods that are nutritious, that they can access easily, is very problematic, but it's also vital to improving those health outcomes. In the state of Kentucky, more than 75% of us consume less than 2 fruit servings, and that should say 89% eat fewer than 3 servings of vegetables per day. So pretty much all of us aren't getting the requirements that we need for fresh fruits and vegetables. We did an earlier study where some of our participants, we wanted to identify some of the barriers to healthy eating in our rural food desert counties, and cost tended to be something that was fairly consistent across all of our focus groups. So we wanted to look at, is this an actual phenomenon? Can we document this? So we did an observational study. We started in September of 2011, and it was over a 10-month study. We chose these four counties. We use the NUVAL. You may have seen these at Kroger, which is the Overall Nutritional Quality Index, and I'll talk about that a little bit more momentarily. We also chose, of our 92 foods that we priced, we wanted foods that people actually purchased. So they had to be items that were restocked frequently due to consistent sales. So it gave us the full range of the nutritional index as well as things that people were actually buying. We calculated our prices per serving based on American Heart Association and American Diabetes Association recommendations. These are our four counties, and if you look, we purposefully chose the highest poverty rate, a mid-range poverty, and the lowest poverty rate in our state. So you can see we have a county that has 5% poverty, which is incredible in the state of Kentucky as well as in most states. Our food desert was a high poverty rate area, and that's the first one. If you look at SNAP participation in our food desert county, very high, 188 per 1,000 population, as well as in our high poverty range. In the middle, you'll see the RUC codes, which is a rural or urban continuum. 1 through 9, it ranks counties based on how the rurality. 1 is very metropolitan, very urban, and 9 is very rural. So we ended up with 2 rural counties and then 2 that were more urbanized. With the mid-range poverty, and you can see the SNAP participation was still at only 70, so a big significant difference in the different levels of SNAP participation. One thing else to point out to you is that our food desert also is nearly 500 square miles. So we have two grocery stores there. They're all central in the portion of the county. So the people who live in the more remote areas of the county actually have to travel 60 miles round trip to a grocery store. So you can see how that's not going to happen every week. In the urban counties, we chose a grocery store that was similar in size and food product variety to the grocery stores in the rural areas. We didn't want to go to, you know, a larger grocery store where prices were lower. We wanted things to be fairly similar. All of the grocery stores that we chose were either regional or national chain stores. The Overall Nutritional Quality Index, again, that's the NUVAL, the little scores you see on the Kroger shelf. This simply ranks the nutritional value of foods by the degree to which they contribute to or protect from chronic diseases. So essentially, it's a fraction. All the healthy stuff is on top. All the things that are not healthy are on the bottom, and the range goes from 1 to 100 as a percentile. And the higher scores equate with foods that have more cardiovascular disease risk-reducing nutrients. These were our food items that we chose. We placed the Nutritional Quality Index, the items into quartiles, and you can see 1 through 49 are the less nutritious items, and those above 50 tended to have more cardiovascular risk-reducing properties to them. You'll also notice that those in the lower two quartiles tend to be more heavily processed foods. Our cost assessments we completed seasonally. We went out 4 times to all 4 grocery stores in all 4 counties, and we also staggered our weeks. We used the first week of September, the third week of January, and so forth, because pricing strategies are different based on SNAP allocation. SNAP funds come out the first week of the month, and there tends to be sales on certain items, so we wanted to control for that by using different weeks of each month. We went to all 4 grocery stores in all 4 counties during the same week to make sure that we got the actual prices that people were paying at that moment. We used repeated measures ANOVA with Fisher's Least Significant to look at the fixed effects of the index quartile and any interactions, and we used an alpha level of 0.005 throughout just as a protection against type 1 errors because we did do the multiple comparisons. When we first plotted the cost versus nutritional quality of all of our foods, you can see the first two on this side, those are the foods with the lower nutritional quality, and then on the other side had higher nutritional quality. If you look in the second column, the second quartile, the more expensive foods per serving were actually located in the highly processed, less nutritious foods. So the things that people were purchasing, high fructose corn syrup, cereals, boxed pastas, things like that, per serving were actually more expensive than some of the more high quality nutritional products. Our results, we had main significant effects between the month of the year as well as our county, which was our SNAP participation. Average cost of food was actually higher in September, and it decreased across all four counties, which that was a good thing. So the foods got a little bit cheaper over the year. But this is what was the most significant. If you look at the bar graph, the patterned columns are our urban counties. So you had medium poverty and low poverty levels. The solid bars, the white and the gray, are actually our impoverished counties. If you look in the second quartile, those are the heavily processed foods. They were the most expensive across all the counties. In the first quartile, the very, very low quality foods, they were the same price across the counties. There was no difference. But what was most concerning was when we came up to the most nutritious foods, we had significant cost disparities in the impoverished counties versus the more affluent counties. And in our food desert, in the fourth quartile, which is the most nutritious food, fruits and vegetables, some of the nuts, some of the fish products, it was disproportionately highest in our rural food desert where we had the highest amount of SNAP participation. So people who were relying on SNAP funds were having to pay more money for both processed food as well as nutritious food. This underscores the phenomenon of the higher food costs in these rural impoverished counties. And it also tells us that in food deserts with high rates of SNAP participation, they are more at increased risk of negative health effects as a result of having very poor, limited access to the healthy foods compared to people living in urban areas. For those in living in urban areas, however, purchasing more plant-based foods and fewer processed foods is actually an effective strategy that we can use without increasing food budgets to actually improve the dietary patterns of people living in those more affluent counties. So affordable foods that reduce the risk are less available in these rural counties where it is most needed because they have the highest rates of heart disease, they have greater reliance on SNAP benefits, more unemployment. So the challenge is actually even more so in rural food deserts. So the poor counties, it's more expensive, but it's even more higher cost in those rural food deserts. Our SNAP policies do not address this discrepancy. I mean, if you live in Kentucky, if you live in Massachusetts, you pretty much, it's set at the federal level. So there's some fluctuation, but not based on the fact that food is more expensive in one county versus the other. In our state, one of the things that our legislature is doing is considering allocating in SNAP funds biweekly, every 2 weeks instead of monthly. And the rationale is that people will not run out of money at the end of the month. But what they don't realize is that these people who have to travel 60 miles, you're forcing them to make two trips to the grocery store. So we've got to find some way to address that problem without further making it more difficult for people to actually get their food that's more healthy. And again, dietary advice that includes limiting purchases, very important that we make people aware of that through our extension offices or however we do that. But until we address the increased cost of healthy foods in these impoverished areas, then it's not going to be the best intervention. It's probably going to be ineffective. That's it. I talk fast.